ओमज्ञानत्विरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Prabhupada has quoted several times, also quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It answers the important question, why are there so many different philosophers? And why can't they come to any fixed up conclusion? There have been so many great thinkers in the world, and even today there are many intelligent people. So why can't they tell us what the meaning of life is? Why can't they tell us what the purpose of the universe is? Why the universe has come into existence? How it has come into existence? How we can be free from all suffering? Why is it that we get different opinions from everybody? It would seem very reasonable, the ascending method, this is called the ascending method, it seems very reasonable, the ascending method of acquiring knowledge, arohana panta, means that you see everything, you observe it, you consider it with your intelligence, and then you come to some conclusion about it. And especially as you develop the field of knowledge, you develop more and more instruments to help you to understand everything. It seems that if you are intelligent, rational, then you should be able to come to some proper conclusion. And they do come to conclusions, many, many conclusions. In the word of one so-called great Indian philosopher, who was actually a great rascal, Jato Mat Toto Pat, as many opinions as there are, that many paths. No, actually, philosopher, that's too good a word to use for him. Just call him a rascal. No philosophy. No, there's no philosophy. It's not philosophy, it's just a slogan, that's all. So they're coming to a conclusion, but the problem is that there's so many different conclusions, which means it's not actually a conclusion, because the real conclusion is only one. What is actually a fact is only one, not many. For instance, if we say this lota is resting on this table, that automatically means that it's not on the floor. It's not suspended in midair. It's not in my, I'm not holding it in my hand. It's not in the room downstairs where I'm staying. There are so many possibilities where it could be, but the actual fact right now is that it's here. So in the same way, we may postulate so many different theories, but the actual fact, what is the cause of the universe? What is the reason for the existence of the universe? That is only one. The word for conclusion in Sanskrit is siddhanta. Means that you perfectly come to the conclusion. Other words are the similar word, vedanta. Vedanta means the conclusion of knowledge. Vedanta, the conclusion of knowledge. So vedanta means siddhanta. Another word, the word for philosophy in Sanskrit is darshan, which means to see. Philosophy doesn't mean that you dream up some idea in your head, but rather you see things as they are. Now we see Srila Prabhupada, he discussed different philosophies. I was reading recently Prabhupada's discussions about Western philosophers. And most of them, after discussing one or two points, they just say, how can you discuss about this? It's such nonsense. Because they have no fixed standard of knowledge, just whatever they think with their tiny brain. So that's not actually philosophy. Philosophy, that comes from the Greek philosophia, which means love of truth. But now they take philosophy to mean whatever opinion you dream up with your own stupid brain. So Prabhupada used to say, this is not philosophy, this is foolosophy. Now, actually, we Vedic philosophers, we can't even discuss. Actually, we can't even properly discuss with these people. Because in Vedic understanding, discussion means discussion upon the Vedas. We can discuss with Mayavadis. We can discuss with followers of Sankhya philosophy, followers of Karma Mimamsa, Yoga. So many different philosophies are there. We can discuss with them, even though their so-called philosophy, they're also nonsense because they come to the wrong conclusion. But at least we can discuss because they accept the Vedas. And as soon as you don't accept the Vedas, you're considered uncivilized. Vedna mania bodh hoito nastik. Because they don't follow the Vedas, the Buddhists are rejected as useless atheists. Is it like this? And they are considered not even civil, they're counted among the group of uncivilized. Dharma de malecha bodh palindo shabar. There's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu analyzed when he was giving examples of uncivilized people, he gave the example as Buddhist. So actually, all these Western philosophers, our whole approach is completely different because they have no fixed standard of knowledge. It's only what I think. And that may change all the time. Just like one of the most famous so-called philosophers of the 20th century is this atheist Bertrand Russell. So his philosophy changed several times throughout his life. At least he was fixed on one point. He was certain there was no God. Well, now he knows better. Too late. He met God. Can you show me God? Don't worry. Just wait, you'll see him. You'll see God in the form of death. Mrityu sarva harascha aham. You'll see God taking away everything. Your big, big brain. Your prestige as a philosopher. Now you'll have the big, big brain of a big, big dog or a big, big cat. So this is the analysis. Why are there so many different philosophers spoken? Because people are not sincere to understand Krishna. Therefore, they want to avoid Krishna by speaking philosophy, which is absurd. Because philosophy means to understand the absolute truth. But they are speaking philosophy actually with the aim to avoid the absolute truth. They may say that we want to understand the absolute truth. They may call themselves Brahmavadis, which means those who are followers of the path of the absolute truth. But actually in their hearts they're envious of Krishna. They want to be known as a great philosopher, or they want to have some intellectual sense gratification, but they're envious of Krishna. Therefore, they cannot understand. Even they say, show me God. But even if God, if you're envious, and even if God comes personally directly in front of you and shows you all his opulences, you will reject. Just like when Krishna was personally present here, so many people saw and heard about his wonderful pastimes. And those who are pious, they came to the conclusion that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But others like Shishupal, they saw the same, they saw and heard in the same way, but they rejected. No, this is not God. One time, Krishna, he went to the court of Dhritarashtra to sue for peace. This was just before the Kurukshetra war he was trying to avoid. And after giving all the different reasons why they shouldn't fight, Krishna said, look, I'm God, and I support the Pandavas. You don't have any chance. And just to prove that he was God, he showed the universal form there. And even Dhritarashtra, who was blind from birth, by the special blessing of Krishna, got the opportunity to see that. And Duryodhana also saw. But he said, this is just some magic trick. That's just some big show by mystic power. So even if the demons, they say, show me God. But even if you show them, they won't accept. They're determined to avoid God. That is the meaning of a demon. He'll rather go to hell. He'll knowingly suffer repeated birth and death. He'll undergo all kinds of difficulties, birth after birth, just to maintain his proud sense of independence, that I don't have to surrender to God. You don't have to surrender to God. But if you don't, you will suffer repeated birth and death, ashesha, klesha, nishesha, unlimited miseries. But they're so demoniac and foolish, they'll, oh yes, all right, let me suffer this, but I will keep my own philosophy. I won't surrender to Krishna. So Krishna, he gives wrong intelligence to such people. They're dreaming up so many absurd theories to deny God, but they don't know that the intelligence to do that is coming from God. They're so proud of their own intelligence, but they don't know that very soon that intelligence will be withdrawn because they're misusing it, either at death or even before. Just like that Dr. Radha Krishna, he was the president of India, first president of so-called independent India. So he was famous as a great philosopher. But his philosophy was that when Krishna says, always think of me, it is not to the person Krishna we should think of, but to the unborn eternal within him. So just to save him from making more and more offenses, God arranged that he will become paralyzed. So in his old age, the ex-president of India, famous philosopher, was simply sitting like a vegetable. Can't speak, can't talk, can't walk, can't do anything. And still they will deny. He won't admit that there is a supreme controller over me. Still he's thinking, I am God, this is my leela. What a rascal. They have the theory the hog is eating stool, that is God's having his leela. Most offensive. It's not God's leela, it is suffering. And you also have to go to that position to suffer. You think this is God having his leela and you think that you are God, okay, you go and have that leela. Who is actually God, he will force you to take such a position. They don't know what is the meaning of God. God means the controller. He controls others, but he is not controlled by others. But by fantastic imagination, Mayavadis think that I am independent and whatever is happening is just by my desire. So it's amazing how they can think these things. That people, they actually do this. They sit on the side of a mountain early morning, and when the sun rises, they think, now I am making the sun rise. Such foolish rascals. And now I'm making the sun rise. The sun's going to rise anyway, nothing to do with you. So this is the stuff of philosophy, to dream up all kinds of bogus ideas, which seem to be very good. They seem to be based on logic and intelligence. But actually all these theories, they are logically weak because they're not the truth. The truth is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, by applying logic, we can defeat these philosophies. We see that Srila Prabhupada, he traveled all over the world and met with all different kinds of people. And whatever ideas they brought to him, he would defeat them. Because he was fixed on the platform of the absolute truth. He didn't study all their different philosophies. How can you? You can't study them all, because there are as many crazy ideas as there are crazy people, and there are as many crazy people in this world as there are people. Apart from the devotees, everyone is a madman. But Prabhupada was able to answer everybody because he was fixed in the knowledge of the absolute truth. And Prabhupada wanted his followers to do this also. In one lecture, he was saying that it's very good to praise your spiritual master, you should do that. But the real glorification is to go out and preach and fight with the non-devotees and defeat their bogus ideas and establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is real praise of your spiritual master, because that means you've really learned from him. Guru teaches, and the proper sign of the disciple is that he has learned so nicely that he can defeat others. So this is one of the purposes of the Krishna Conscious Movement, to establish the proper idea within society. The proper idea is Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there will always be different ideas. It's not that we're going to convince everybody in the world. There will always be someone avoiding Krishna. But by spreading this Krishna Conscious philosophy, by preaching strongly everywhere, we can have a strong effect, no doubt. At the moment, the whole world is going on the wrong idea. And it's difficult to establish the right idea. Because everyone thinks, well, I can think whatever I like. I can think whatever I want to think. Due to Mayavad, everyone thinks that everyone is individually an authority. This idea that everyone should be allowed to think whatever they like is bogus. We should learn by hearing from authorities what is the actual fact. This is one of the predominating features of the modern worldview, that everyone should just be allowed to think whatever they like. Everyone is equal. It's bogus. It's not true. Who has studied, who has got knowledge of Shastra, how can they be considered equal to someone who is not? It's not that everyone's all equal all the same. Then why should anyone go to school? Or if you go in the mathematics exam and you write the completely wrong answer and you write at the bottom, you should give me 100% because this is my opinion. In my opinion, 2 + 2 = 5. It's my opinion. You should give me full marks. I'm just as good as anybody else. No, you're not. You're a fool. You got 0 marks in your examination. This is their hypocritical position. On one hand, they say we're very scientific. On the other, they say you should have, when it comes to philosophy, religion, whatever you like, whatever your opinion is. So this idea is simply produced by envy, that everyone can think whatever they like. Because the actual situation is that we have to follow authority. Authority means those who know. Tattvadarshi, we have to approach Tattvadarshi, one who knows, one who has seen the truth. And how to approach Tadviti Pranipatena in full humility, bowing down. But that they don't like to do because they're envious. Many times in the Western countries when people see we're bowing down to the deity, bowing down to Guru, then they become, why are you training them to bow down? They consider this demeaning or belittling. Do you know what that means? You shouldn't bow down to anyone. This Prabhupada, in 1968 in Seattle, at the end of one lecture, someone said to him, he saw everyone bowing down, one guest came in the temple. He said, well, I don't see why I should bow down to anyone. Prabhupada said, yes, this is your disease. You don't want to bow down, you will be forced to bow down. You will be forced to bow down by birth, death, old age and disease. If you don't bow down before Guru and Krishna, then you'll have to fall down on the ground, dead, and then bow down before Yamaraj. Another time Prabhupada explained that understanding means standing under. You can actually begin to understand when you accept the humble position. Jnane prayasam utapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya varitam. This is how we get knowledge. First of all, we give up our puffed up idea that, I'm a big philosopher, I can understand everything by my own intelligence. Then very humbly, we hear from self-realized devotees of Krishna. Not that we dispense with intelligence. I mean, not that we give up intelligence. People think that accepting authority means giving up your intelligence. It doesn't. But it means applying our intelligence, training our intelligence in a disciplined manner. Just like when you go to study mathematics at the college, it doesn't mean that you give up your intelligence by following the system of instruction, but it means that you apply your intelligence according to a system. So it's not that intelligence is given up, but it's not just left wild. It's applied to understand what are the actual facts. Accepting that there are those who have already understood the actual facts of existence. So speculative philosophy and Vaishnava philosophy, there's a complete difference in the methodology. One school, they more or less rely on their own speculation, and the other simply accepts which is given by Krishna, just like Arjuna. Sarvam etadritang manye yanmang vadasi keshava. Arjuna said to Krishna, I simply accept everything that you have told me. And if we take such an attitude that, yes, Krishna says like this and all the great acharyas accept, then we can very easily understand everything.